Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. I am back with a special guest. I am bringing on today Alexandria Omania. She is a breathwork practitioner, a trance breathwork practitioner that Izzy and I, so Isabel Wells, part of Reiki Cafe Radio, who we often have hosting some of our shows. She and I both met Alexandria at a retreat last summer, and both of our minds were blown. We were so happy and joyous and grateful for the experience that we had that we're in the process of creating our own retreat for next summer in Bozeman, Montana. And we were like, we know exactly who we want to come on as a guest presenter to offer this trance breathwork. And that's Alexandria. And so thank you so much for coming on the show today. I can't wait to get into this conversation about our stories, about how breathwork has changed your life and how you bring it to the world. Like, I want to know all of the things. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm grateful. Yeah.
Yeah. It was so fun to meet you last summer. And I feel like we both, Izzy and I both kind of presented really in our fullness during the breathwork session. And, but before we get into that, I would really love to know a little bit about your story. I know that you recently moved from Big Sky, which isn't too far away from Bozeman, up to Bozeman. And there's been a lot of transition going on in your life. And I'd love to know, how's that going for you?
You know, if you asked me that question, 5 months ago, I would have said, yeah, no, it's going horribly. But now that all of the, you know, all the pieces have kind of moved around and come into place, the transition has become actually quite beautiful. Yeah, because I get to do things like this. I made space in my life to meet people who are really working on elevating their consciousness and frequency. So it's going really good.
I love that. I'm glad to hear that it kind of turned a corner. Like, I know that oftentimes when we're in that place of surrender, of letting go from attachment and letting go of the past, what we have, you know, gotten into the groove of our lifestyle and going, this isn't working for us anymore. This isn't feeling right. And that shedding of can be a great deal of emotional and psychic work happening. And to come into that place of the empowerment of like, okay, now I'm in the flow of things that are meant to be for me, not just the groove, but I'm
your
in the
purpose.
Flow. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, I owned a restaurant up in Big Sky for 17 years and I had been there for 22 years. And so my whole identity was wrapped around being a chef. Chef Alex owns the Lotus Pad, you know, and everywhere I went in Big Sky, everybody knew who I was. And it felt like I had at that time a purpose. And my purpose was, you know, in hindsight, now I can see it was very egocentric and very driven by a title, you know. And I think once I started learning all these different modalities to help heal the wounds inside me, I started realizing, like, wow, you know, I can see myself, like I can actually see who I am without the chef's coat and all these labels and titles and all these traumas. And I'm peeling back all these onion layers and discovering the essence of me and how my expression looks, without all of these other titles, you know, and
right.
Yeah. And breath work was one of those things that really got me feeling into my body and understanding that feelings aren't like words. You know, feelings are actually, you know, physical. Yeah. And that really triggered me to want to help other people. Yeah. It gave me a purpose.
Totally. So Was your journey kind of like finding that somatic place of healing? And then like, tell me a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I would say maybe eight years ago when I got divorced, that was a very big trauma. And I had already started learning a few metaphysical things and doing yoga and things like that. But that was a big trauma. And I didn't know what to do. It was a crisis, you know, and because then that's another identity, you know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm married, you know, and I think I was desperate. I was totally desperate to find something to fix me. And I was sourcing out, like, where do I go? I'm going to learn yoga. I'm going to learn Reiki. I'm going to learn all these things. I went to a retreat in Costa Rica, and I was so in a bad place. And this woman was there teaching Kundalini yoga. And that was really what got me into feeling my body. And once I started focusing on that, it took me out of here, out of my head.
Right.
And the more and more I started doing that, you know, and I thought like, oh yeah, I'm on a path. I got this, you know, I was like, kind of a little bit of spiritual arrogance. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, fast forward of doing that for a while and then running the restaurant by myself and then growing it into a larger location and taking like tripling the size of my restaurant. All those things were like, you know, there was a height of it where I was like, I'm on my game and I'm healed, you know? And then I thought like, okay, I need to be a better boss. It kind of started there. I need to be a better boss. So I started doing all these trainings of like communications and how to be a leader. And that led me into the world of NLP. Mm-hmm. And I found an amazing teacher. And NLP is, for people that don't know, is neuro-linguistic programming. I found a teacher and I ended up spending about 3 years with her doing, getting a, you know, in her program, the master certification for NLP and clinical hypnotherapy. And she did Reiki levels 1 and 2. And she really has been a mentor to me and taught me so much. But it was in that world, the world of the mind and the psyche and the language where it really helped crack me open and get into the real meat and bones
of
trauma. Yeah,
absolutely. I love that because I feel like I hit a huge shift in my own training once I brought in NLP, when I brought in hypnosis, when I brought in those things, because it's like, it all comes down to what is your mind doing? What's the mindset here? And how can we recognize where we're self-sabotaging, where we're holding ourselves back from our full potential. And I love how NLP is set up to reveal those blocks that we create for ourselves.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because you have, in order to be really good at it, you have to listen really well. And in order to listen really well to others, you have to listen really well to yourself. And so that was, you know, there was a really challenging period of time where I would work with people in the NLP, with the NLP model. And I would be listening to my inner speak, like, you're not good at this. Who do you think you are? They don't believe you. And then I'm also having to listen to the person telling me what they need help with,
right?
You know, and I was like, you know, consciously incompetent. You know, and you're wanting, like, you want to get to being unconsciously competent. Like, you don't have to think about being like what the things you're doing and being competent. Like, it just comes instinctually and naturally. And so yeah, the NLP world really shifted for me. And then I went to a retreat. I did a program through Aubrey Marcus called Fit for Service. And I did breath work for the first time when I did that a couple of years ago. And that really just, I was like, oh, a whole nother layer of healing. You know, like now we get to kind of play around with, you know, maybe more metaphysics.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, it feels like we have the NLP with like, here, let's heal the mind. And now when you enter into breath work, it's like, okay, let's heal the body, the somatic piece of it. And I feel like breath in and of itself is such a healing component when we can recognize the breath flow and where are we holding tension and what are we locking in? And it's not by like processing it with the mind. The body is literally storing trauma within it.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of like where, okay, so people will be grabbing parts of their body in breath work, a shoulder and rolling it. And in there, you know, after people that have done breath work for the first time, right? And afterwards, we're talking about it. And they're like, yeah, my shoulder hurt, you know? And further in further discussion, we start going into, okay, well, you know, what is that telling you? What's the first thing you think of? Or I look in a fun little book I have that kind of correlates emotional states with physical ailments, you know, and it's really fascinating what comes up for people, you know, like, I don't know, like shoulders are holding your head and your head is your world. So it's kind of like, do you feel like you're holding too much in your world? Like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's all these kinds of questions. And when we get into the somatic expressions part, it's like, well, that's energy that needs to get moved. So if you, you know, add oxygen to movement, you're healing and moving. You're healing and moving this stuck energy. You know, it's really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I just love the possibility of what is like the potential of what can come up in a breathwork session is so vast.
Yeah.
You never know what the experience is going to be like.
Yeah. And what I'm noticing is because I've got people now that have been coming quite often, they're starting to make space. Now they've moved a lot of trauma out. And now when they come into breathwork, they're making space and they're having these like mystical experiences.
Yeah.
They're seeing their higher self, or they're seeing like relatives, or you know, they're able to have a clearer channel.
Yes,
you know, and I think that's one of my missions is to help people kind of get more clarity, so they can you know increase their frequency to match that of the earth, because that's raising, you know.
Yeah.
Human resonance is raising. And it's like, if we're not raising with it, you know, I think that can be painful for people in a variety of ways.
Yes. Yeah. I love that connection to, you know, we're earthlings connected with the earth, and we've got to change with the earth and raise that frequency up. And, you know, I remember in our session, like I know it was last summer, but I was like, I was there. I was in that place of connecting with spiritual celestial beings who were like communicating with me. And it's just that it reminded me so much of plant medicine ceremony work. But there was such a difference in that I didn't have to partake in anything. And I think that's why I fell in love with breath work so much, is like I'm in control at any time. I can change my breath and I can come back down energetically.
Yes. Yeah. And then in the process of that, you're training your nervous system that the mind is in charge, and the nervous system isn't in charge of the mind, you know, and because people, I think, often go throughout their life saying, you know, like, oh, I got so many things to do. And oh, this happened to me. And I don't know why everything sucks, you know, or whatever that might look like. But really it's that your nervous system doesn't know what to do your body doesn't know what to do with all that energy, and your nervous system is just like totally dysregulated, and you're in the story of it all instead of realizing how powerful our minds are and that the mind is capable of controlling all of it.
Yes.
All of it, you know? And yeah, so I think breathwork really teaches the nervous system that the brain is in charge, that you're in charge. You are in charge of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so when you're having that, tell us a little bit about what breathwork actually looks like for someone who's never experienced breathwork sessions before or a group experience of breathwork. And we're calling it trance breathwork for a reason. So it's not just like, oh, we're all going to sit and meditate and breathe. It's so much more than that. Can you kind of help fill in the gaps for our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. So basically, you know, for people that are listening, if you go online, you can Google holotropic breathwork, and Stanislav Grof is kind of, he's kind of the guru that brought this to the mainstream, this shamanic breathing. And basically in breathwork, we are breathing a lot of oxygen into our bodies. And it is, we're accessing in our lungs, we're accessing DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is naturally in our lungs. And this is the same chemical that comes from ayahuasca and other psychedelics. And so we are accessing very small amounts of it through our oxygenating. And basically a session, when you come in, I do private sessions and then group sessions. In the group setting, I really love that because it's powerful. There's a lot of energy and we're all collectively joining in on that. And it makes it just so much more powerful. But yeah, so we're all breathing to music, and the music is very evocative. And then the way I like to do it, and the way I was taught with somatic breath work, Stephen Jaggers, who was the guy who taught me, basically you breathe for 8 minutes or 15 minutes. In the group setting, it's 15 minutes, maybe a little more or less. And then we hold the breath. And when you're holding your breath, your body is filled with so much oxygen. It's an opportunity to just feel. And you're having all these feelings in your body that you don't normally have every day. They're, you know, you're physically tingling all over. I think that's pretty fair to say everybody goes through that. But also, you know, you're exploring an altered state of consciousness sometimes, most likely, and you're feeling. So you have these two things working together, and they're kind of just heightening the experience of being human. And yeah. it makes it like, you know, I feel like I hear this all the time. People are like, I had no idea that my body could do that. And I also figured out a lot of shit in my life, you know, that wasn't working for me. You know, and it's so, I kind of like to think, you know, it's like you're making space to allow energy to come through so you can receive information.
Yes.
You know,
it's giving it's creating that sacred container within your physical body to allow what needs to come up to come up.
Yeah. And in the group settings, it is, like you said, ceremonial. So, you know, there's music and, you know, there's meditation, and I've really, since you came to mind last summer, have leaned into a lot of frequency stuff and sound bowls and creating a frequency experience at the end. So I really love that because it kind of gets the room into resonance.
Ooh,
you know,
that sounds juicy.
It is. It's so juicy. And then, you know, we're just so much more powerful when we're all in resonance and we are all doing something with a fairly similar intention, you know, to elevate, you know, increase the frequency. Yeah.
And so one of the things I want to also let our listeners know is that you have a little a little nest, if you will. Like you're on your own mat. You know that like this is your safe space. This is your container. So there's not like interactions with others. No, and yeah. So you can really be in that. This is my container to do this work. And I can go as deep as I allow myself to go. And I think that's where it just feels so amazing, because you're giving your body the opportunity to allow it to experience this alternate state and really have it reveal whatever needs to come up.
Yeah. And you know, and everybody's at different levels, and some people express more than others. And it takes people, I think, a few sessions sometimes to feel comfortable in that, you know, because the program is so deep, you know, we're not allowed to express ourselves, you know, when you're a little kid, your parents and your teachers and everyone around is like, you can't throw that temper tantrum. That's not acceptable. That's not okay. Don't do that, you know, and it's just a little kid getting energy out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really all it is. And what ends up becoming really fun for me to witness is when people discover that, and then they allow themselves to just express. And it looks, I mean, I have a guy that came to one of my last workshops and he laughed almost the whole time, but it was like this laugh that was like, it sounded fake, but it wasn't. He was an older guy and his laugh was like, and it kind of brought joy into the room, and people that were processing things could take a little break when he laughed, and then they would start laughing. And then at one point the whole room erupted and started laughing. And that energy is just beautiful. You know, it really is.
I love that. That just makes me want to giggle too. And I think that's it. It's that, you know, we've been so stuck in the modern world of like, this is the way adults should present. And right. And now we have this opportunity to express. And I really want to hone in on that word, is that when we have the capacity and the encouragement to express however our body needs, it can show up in a lot of different ways. It can be, I'm lying still, or it can be like, I'm moaning, or I'm moving my body. I'm stretching. Like maybe when you're doing this work, you really do feel that ailment come up that you weren't even expecting, that jolts of pain, and you're just recognizing and stretching it out and breathing into it. And I just love that you don't have very many opportunities as adults to just be like, here's a space where it's all okay. The only rule is you get to stay on your mat and your nest or whatever it may be to have the container, and it's all okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you nailed it. It's like, we really don't have, you know, a lot of spaces to do that. And it's funny because since I've learned how to move energy when something's upsetting me, you know, I try to do it immediately. Like a guy yelled at me the other day when I was driving, and he was just an angry driver. And it kind of got me really pissed. You know, I was just like, oh God. And then I felt it all in here. And then I'm driving and I'm just like shaking and I'm driving and shaking. And I was thinking like, man, wouldn't it be just amazing if we could just do this in the world instead of yelling at each other? Like the minute if we did yell at each other, that everybody realizes that it's in your body and, you know, like shake it off or whatever, scream it out or, you know, like, but in a way that's like where you're not screaming at someone. And you were talking about the word express. Well, it's, you know, ex-pressurize, mm-hmm. Get the pressure out, express, you know, you're pressed down, get it out. You know, and I feel like we need so much of that right now, because people just don't, they don't know that it's okay. They just don't. And it is. It's okay to be a kid. You know, we're all children. We are.
Yes. Yeah. And which is one of the reasons why part of our retreat, we have a whole childhood, inner child playtime is what I'm calling it. Because I think that's it. Like it's, can we wake up to our natural state again. And our child, our inner child has the key to that, right? Our body is holding so much, which is why we need the breath work so we can have a safe place to release and let it go. And then having the retreat is just kind of like, here's your integration space. Like, let's come into that and own it. Like, who are we? If we let all of this stuff go and recognize this is how our inner child wants to play and laugh and enjoy and express themselves, and this is how the body wants to do it. So then what's the next piece? Like, it's all available once we can come into our home of our soul, of going, like, we can recognize our passion and our purpose and our higher self and connect with the earth and the cosmos and all of it.
Yeah, right. And I think breath work helps make space for that, because, you know, it's like, I like to describe it like your bottle, and your bottle can only be filled with so much. And when your bottle is filled to the top and can't be filled anymore, you have to let some of it go so you can fill it with other things, new things, you know? And I think even in the spiritual world, you know, people are like, learn. And somebody said this to me recently and it really resonated, you know, information is light. And you take a lot of light in, too much light in, it has nowhere to move, then it's chaos. And when you have chaos, that's not good for anybody. So taking information and being able to move it out and use it and express it, however that looks for you. Because I know a lot of people that are transitioning into, you know, more of a holistic wellness, in the holistic wellness space, but they're afraid. You know, they're like, I'm afraid. I don't know if I know enough. And, but then their lives are chaotic. And I'm like, it's because you're learning too much and you're not, you learn when you teach, you know, that's how I like to see it. And I kind of jumped right into breath work because, you know, I knew that I had to, and it was beautiful because it felt really natural once I did it. And then I'm watching people make space in their bottles and create things now. Like, I have a few people I'm just watching a blossom right before my very eyes. And they do other things besides breath work, but I can see how they're blossoming even in breath work, you know? So, yeah.
I think that's it. Like, as healing practitioners with multiple modalities at our fingertips, it's really beautiful to be able to support our clients, our students, whoever they may be, and watch them move from a place of struggle, a place of chaos, a place of like, what do I do now? I'm trying to move through it. And it's that trying, like a quote unquote trying, is almost egoic and going, you have to let it go and just welcome in the beingness to being and remembering. And I want to almost hyphenate that word, remember who we are as spiritual beings, right?
Yeah. Bringing the parts back, remembering. Yeah, it's true. And there's such a beautiful movement happening right now. I mean, it's quite amazing to see so many people, making space by healing all those traumas and all those parts that they don't need anymore. And then to be able to go into your family's lineage and do it also, you know, once you make enough space in your being, then you can start to help heal the lineage, and then you're setting it up for the future. You know, it's
exactly
really beautiful. Yeah,
exactly.
And one thing I'll say too about breathwork that's awesome is it really, it's very user friendly. You know, it's user friendly to people who are afraid or don't really want to quite take a leap into, you know, maybe doing Reiki or, you know, or I don't know. It's a very easy thing, I think, to like to do that.
Yeah. I think it's like that really, it's a lovely step. If you are interested in plant medicine or sacred medicine, and yet you're not ready for that, right? Yeah, you want something like that. And that's what I like. I literally took the breathwork class. I'm like, who needs plant medicine?
It's like the gateway drug.
Right? Like this is great. Like, we don't need any other outside substances. It's all in my lungs. What? It's all in my lungs. I love this. It's in my body. So it has to be there for me. And in that way, it can just be really supportive.
Yeah. And empowering. It's empowering. That's the other thing, is when people realize they can do that. To see, and it's an, I see this light fire up in people's eyes where it's the first time in their lives they have felt empowered on that level, you know? And because what we've been taught for how many thousands of years that, you know, our source is outside of us.
Right.
You know, and that's just the biggest lie ever told. Like, the source is inside you, you know, like you are the source of the source, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So, and yeah. I think that's it, is when, by doing this kind of work, we're really able to recognize our own internal power and going, this feels good. I want more of it. And then you're starting to recognize what is making me feel out of balance with that. What in my life am I ready to let go of because it's dishonoring instead of honoring? It's contracting instead of expanding.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, and then it's funny that you say that too. I love that you say that, contracting and expanding, because then that also kind of spills over into, you know, like, who's in your life, your environment around you, like who is elevating you, who is like asking you to go down, you know? And I think that that's really important too. And breath work really just kind of opens the eyes, you know, really does.
And you hold such a beautiful, sacred space. Like,
oh, thank you.
I have to give that shout out. It's like, it's not, this isn't my only, my first breathwork course was with you. I was like, oh, she's got it. Like, this is just innately, you're like, you're a natural at holding that sacred container. And I love that. I love that. It seems so easy for you.
Thank you. It feels that way. And, you know, it's very guided, I would say. And I really like that because, it's natural to me to kind of bring it from the heart. You know, I'm Filipino. My grandmother's Filipino Hawaiian. And I feel like I'm a very heart-centered person, you know, and I really love holding space for people. And it's something that I discovered I'm really good at. You know, I have really good boundaries, and it helps me keep a very open container, you know? And so, thank you. I love hearing that. I receive that. Yeah.
Good. Well, and I feel like just recognizing as facilitators, the boundaries, like when we have good, healthy internal boundaries, we have really good, healthy boundaries for the space and for the space that we're holding. And just recognizing that, you know, what we cultivate within is what was cultivated without, like in our external environment. And I just love seeing that beautiful reflections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that word. Yeah. It's like your outer world's a reflection of your inner world. And I love that word because it's like, it's, you reflect I on.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Right.
Yeah. I just love that word. And I think the more we can see our lives that way, like, what is it about this situation that I am feeling, you know, upset about or even happy about, whatever? And what is it showing me, you know, because I think there's such a tendency to become a victim, you know, like that person did this to me. And, you know, and I mean, we're human. So, you know, sometimes you aren't conscious of that. And like I said, a guy yelled at me on the road. I got really mad about it. And I was like, that guy has the nerve, you know, but then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. You know, I was like, what is it about that that really upsets me. And when I start dissecting it, I'm like, well, I don't like to be treated that way.
Yeah.
You know? And well, where did that come from? Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I got treated that way. You know, and I started realizing like that's where these feelings are coming from. And the more we do that, the more it's like, and then you shake the energy up, boom, it's done.
It's gone. Right. It's following the little bread comes back into your past going, no, I've been trained. I've been cultivated to have these type of trigger responses. And this happens in everyone. Our whole culture is very much like wants us to be victims so that we're easier to be controlled.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when we're all triggered all over the place, then it's a lot easier to manipulate society.
Right. And the great news is a lot of people are starting to see that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's going to come a time fairly soon where, you know, there's this mass awakening and people are just going to start to be like, oh, wait a minute. You mean money doesn't equal my worthiness? You know, right. Like, oh yeah, it's a piece of paper. You are worthy, beautiful human being. You know, you're worthy to just be you. You don't have to, you know, it was a hard realization for me, but it was like, I don't have to put on a chef's coat. I don't have to be an entrepreneur. I don't have to be all those things. You know, I just have to be me. And what does that look like? You know, and then you start getting into the real expression and expressing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And so it's like, I just want to let all of our listeners know, like, we welcome the transition, the process, the support that you need for integrating and recognizing all that has made you up to this point and recognizing where you want to shift into and knowing that you're not alone. I have so many students who think that they're alone in their healing process. And I'm like, no, there's thousands upon thousands of people waking up right now. And when I say waking up, it's recognizing they've been put in this victimhood mode and that we can step out of that and into an empowered state and recognize our choice and recognizing our responsibility.
Yeah. And realizing that we have been fed a lie. And that lie is that, like I said, that we are not the source of our own greatness, you know? And I think, you know, I love plant medicine because it showed me that, you know, and I was on that path anyway. It just showed it to me really quickly. But I think it's a really important mission, right? And I feel like in this like health and wellness space, we're all sort of doing the same thing. We're trying to help raise the frequency of the collective consciousness by, you know, being a guide with people to show them to shine the light on their greatness, you know, and to say like, hey, you don't need all these stories, all these stories that we tell ourselves, and they don't matter. They happened. They all just already happened, you know? Right. And so,
it's in the past. Let it be in the past. And
there's I was just saying there's a lot of ways to go back and make that right. There's so many ways. And I feel like you doing Reiki and all your magic, and, you know, I do NLP coaching and hypnotherapy, and I love breath work. You know, it's all kind of moving people into that like space maker mode, you know?
Right. And I think that's where a lot of my shamanic work comes in, is like, we're hooking the cords from the past out. We're releasing those cords to going, that's who you were. That is not who you are right now. We can recreate that. And that's where it's like the NLP and the hypnosis and the time techniques and the Reiki and the shamanic work I do, it all kind of blends together, which makes it really fun. It's just going, how is it going to present for this client? To going, what do they need to let go of the past or let go of their stories? Because it's the stories that bind us.
Yeah. And how beautiful is that? Then now what you're doing is you're using your expression. you've learned all these modalities from someone else's expression, and now you're making it yours and you're showing it to someone, they're going to open up space and make it theirs.
Yep.
And show up. And it's like, now we're creating these little, like, you know, these little like gangs of neurons, ganglions of neurons. How do you say
that? I think that's right.
Yeah. Of neurons. Yeah. And we're just connecting them all to make a big giant brain of consciousness, you know? And I love it too. And I'm like, the more leaving Big Sky and moving to Bozeman was the absolute best thing I could have ever done for my life, because there's not a whole lot of this in Big Sky. It's more, you know, vacationers and developers and those things. And so having these kinds of conversations has really elevated my experience, you know, and my expression is just being formed. I don't really even sometimes know what that looks like still, you know,
and that's okay. And I love that too. Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a listener out there who wants to connect with you for an individual one-on-one session. Are you offering those online or just in person?
I am. I can do them online. Yes. Yep. I can do Zoom sessions for breath work or hypnotherapy and in person. And yeah, they can go to my website.
Yeah. We share that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's lumin88.com.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes with any of the other contact information, because Alexandria is an amazing practitioner and I love the work that she's doing, and so excited that you're going to be joining us as a guest presenter on our Soul Rising retreat. She's going to be with us Friday morning to do trance breath work before we head up to play up at Highlight Reservoir. And so we have a 5-day retreat starting June 26th, this 2024 summer in Bozeman, Montana. And we end that retreat on Sunday, June 30th. And they are full days, full experiences. And we've got a lot of ceremony and shamanic and play and experiences all built in. And so if you're interested, definitely check out those show notes for information on the retreat. Experience Montana. So like, if you're coming from a warmer climate, I've got to tell you, end of June is like the perfect time to visit Montana. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. We're talking like a chill 70 degrees. Like that's Montana for you. And so we'd love to have you come out and play with us. Reach out if you have questions. And until June, thank you so much, Alexandria, for being on with us today. And I just can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Also, can I make one mention?
Absolutely.
I'm doing a full moon breath work at Wild Wisdom Collective on April 23rd. So I don't.
Nice. Yeah. I love
that. You can go to my website and sign up there.
Perfect. So that's a local Bozeman so our Bozemanites who are our listeners, definitely check that out. If you're nearby, come check it out. It's worth the drive. And I'll be coming back from Ecuador then, so maybe I can sneak it in. I'd love that. And such a beautiful space down there at Wild Wisdom. Wild Wisdom is our local metaphysical shop. And so for those of you who are traveling out for a retreat, we'll definitely stop by the store to have some shopping experience as well. So yay, I'm excited.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure talking with you today. And I can't wait for all of our things coming together and collaborating.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University. Watch our videos on YouTube or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.